Welcome to Anchor Point, where we believe that the next 30 minutes could change your life forever. So join us to consider the greatest message ever heard, the good news of the gospel, as well as sound scriptural teaching for believers, all based on the Word of God, the anchor for our souls. Today we'll be hearing about the wonderful love of God for us. Wonderful words about the person of our Lord Jesus Christ from Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And to think that this wonderful gift was given to us and for us all because of the love of God. God who planned for our salvation and eternal welfare from ages past. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't begin his life in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. The Bible says that he was the creator of all things and the Lamb of God from the foundation of the world. In today's broadcast, evangelist and teacher, Mr. Norman Crawford presents to us aspects of this wonderful and special love of God, a love which was offered before we ever loved him. Love that was first in time, in degree, in grace, and finally its claims upon us as believers to reach out and to see others saved. So let's listen to Mr. Norman Crawford as he begins his message with a reading from 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19.
1 John chapter 4 and verse 19. We love him. Because we love him because he first loved us. I want to speak to you for a few minutes about the love that is first. I have four things. They are very simple, but they have touched my heart. This love is first in four ways. First of all, it's first in time. And then it's first in its degree. And then it's first in its grace. And what I would like to speak to you about is, it is first in its claims. Now, sometimes a child will answer a question that begins with why by saying, because. Of course, what the child is admitting is, I don't really know the answer, but there is an answer. And I don't think that's unintelligent. I think the child is indicating, yes, there's an answer if I only knew it. So, because means there is a reason. Can I tell you something? In God's love to me, in God's love to you, there is no because. In fact, if you were to go way back to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 7, you would read, the Lord did not love you because. No, he loved us because he is love. When I took in the fact that the Lord Jesus had so loved me that he hung on that cross and bled and died in my place, I was overwhelmed. I often tell that as I walked home that night alone, I got into the center of a big park, and I stopped and I looked up at a star-studded sky. And this is the truth that overwhelmed me. The God who made all that gave his only son to die for me. I think for the first time in my life, I became a worshiper. I couldn't help it. He loved me without a cause. We used to have a dear old man, and many a time when he prayed, he was blind. But it always moved me that the tears ran down from eyes that could not see. And he used to quote these words again and again from the dateless, timeless periods. Thou hast loved us without cause, and for all thy blood-bought myriads, thine is love that knows no pause. Matchless lover, changeless as the eternal laws. So there was no because in God's love to you. I think you would follow me in this. Those of you who study your Bible, sisters as well as brethren, would know that there are three words in the New Testament for love. There is a word in the language of the New Testament that is not found in our Bible. It is the word eros. And from it we get English words that I don't even like to use. But there is a word in the New Testament for natural affection, the word storge. It is not used in a positive way in the New Testament. It is used in Romans chapter 1 and in 2 Timothy chapter 3 like this, without natural affection. But there are two other words, and I'm sorry, if you don't like me to use the words of the original language, forgive me for it, will you? Because there's great truth here. If there wasn't great truth in it, I would not spend a moment speaking about it. But I think you all know that there is a word for love in the New Testament, philia, from which we get the word Philadelphia. Philadelphia is found 7 times in our New Testament, by the way, and it means the love of brothers. And oftentimes we have heard this, and I have read it, and you maybe have too, that the word philia is less in its degree than agape, which is, of course, the love of John 3:16, the love of God. I have heard it said many times that philia is a lesser love. Forgive me. That is wrong. You know why it's wrong? Because that is the word that is used for the Father's love for His Son. You know what it means? It means there's everything in the object of that love to draw out love. There's everything there that that heart of love can appreciate. Everything of worth. Everything of majesty and glory and beauty. So God loves His Son because. You know, we sometimes sing a hymn like that. We love Thee for the glorious worth which in Thyself we see. We love Thee for the shameful cross endured so patiently. So God loved His Son for the glorious worth of His blessed person. Oh, thank God for that. But I'm telling you that because of the opposite. God loved me when I had no worth. God loved me when there was no cause for His love. When there was nothing in me to draw it out. When there was no cause to make Him love me. Why did He love me? Why? Why did God ever love me? What's the answer? It'll take eternity to tell us the answer, but I can tell you, because God is love. This is love that knows no measure. This is the love that was proven by the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I say to you very simply that the cross of Jesus is the rejected, despised Jesus of Nazareth who suffered there? The cross of Christ is the fact that He's the eternal one who came from heaven to fulfill the Father's plan, to finish the great work that the Father gave Him to do. The cross of Christ is the person who came and the value of that work He did. But the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ is taken up entirely with the worth of God's Son. Oh, the worth of our Lord Jesus. Can you ever begin to tell His worth? Will eternity ever exhaust His worth? Never. And to think that God gave all He had. So, when did this love begin? My first point is that this love is first in time. John 3:16 is the blessed whosoever, and it means every man, every woman, every boy, every girl who ever drew the breath of life. Believe that with all my heart. I believe in a whosoever gospel. But forgive me if I tell you I also believe in the opposite. I believe in a God who in wonder chose me in His Son before the world began. I believe in a love that was before this world was ever made. An everlasting love. The first love. The love that is first in time. He loved me long before I knew Him. That love went out from God's heart to sinners. And in those wonderful counsels of eternity, a great plan was devised. In fact, I don't believe, dear Christian, that the Lord Jesus ever became the Lamb of God. I believe He is the Lamb. Forever the Lamb. The Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the earth. So here's a love that is first in time. A love that reaches to you and reaches to me. Do I understand it? No, I don't, but I believe it. Is that a contradiction? I don't think so. Because I'm going to go to heaven to see Him in all its beauty, the wounded Lamb of Calvary, and I'm going to begin to learn how deep is that love, how eternal is that love for a sinner like me. It's first in its degree, and what I've said so far really covers that subject, I would confess to you. This love of the Lord Jesus is a love that is without measure, and therefore he first loved us. He first loved us. The love that is first in its power. The love that is first in its measure. The love that is first in its degree. No love can compare to it. No love can be put beside it. And I think you'll recognize this. The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends, and ye are my friends." But how did they become his friends? They were enemies. Enemies of God by wicked works. Enemies by sin. Enemies by rebellion. That's when he loved you, dear believer. He loved you when you were an enemy. He loved you when you had no love for him. He loved you when you were unlovely. Can I say this? Unlovable. Is that true? But this is God. This is the God of eternal power and majesty and glory. And although I was unlovable, yet in the wonder of his heart he could love me. So there's no love to compare to this. It's matchless. It's eternal. It's free. But I want to speak to you about the grace of this love, because this touches me deeply. Not only is it true what I said a few minutes ago, that I am unworthy of his love. That's true, isn't it? I'm unworthy. No Christian here would ever deny that for a moment. I'm unworthy of his love. Is that the whole story? No, that's hardly the beginning of it. I'm not only unworthy of his love, I deserved his eternal punishment. I deserved the very opposite. Grace is not blessing going out to an unworthy object. Grace is God's salvation reaching out to one who only deserves his wrath, only deserves his judgment. What an amazing thing grace is. God's grace from his heart could reach to one who just deserves eternal fire. And that's the truth I learned. I'll never be in the fire. Oh, thank God I'll never be in the fire. He went through the fire for me. So, dear believer, it's a love that is first in time. It's a love that's first in its degree. It's a love that's first in its grace. It's a love that is first in its claims. Come, every joyful heart that loves the Savior's name. Your noblest powers exert to celebrate his fame. Tell all above and all below the debt of love to him you owe. But it was the last verse. Could we sing it without feeling? Maybe that's a good barometer. Maybe we should test our own hearts to see how we respond. Because the last verse of Samuel Stennett's hymn, I went into the gate of a cemetery one day, and I walked across some green grass, and I came to a stone, and I stood there with wonder. And on the stone it said, Samuel Stennett. And this is what he wrote. Jesus, we ne'er can pay. Debt of love we owe. Yet grant us day by day our gratitude to show. Our life, our all, to thee we give. To thee, by whom alone we live. What a debt of love we owe. The claims. Let me speak to you just for a few minutes about the claims. Let me tell you about the claims of this love. You've just heard that it was demonstrated at Calvary. Proven in agony, in suffering. Proven in the darkness, the mysterious darkness that we could never penetrate. Even angels were not allowed to look on that holy scene. Dear believer, I believe that darkness was not because of sin. I believe that darkness was because the scene was too holy. for eyes to look upon. That's the reason. Remember when God appeared on the Mount to Moses? What was it he appeared in? Thick darkness. God is so holy. That scene at Calvary was so holy that no eye was allowed to look upon it. That's where the love is proved. That's where the love can be seen, demonstrated at Calvary. God is demonstrated, by the way, that's Romans 5 and verse 8. Can you take it that way? God has demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's love that is proven by our obedience. It isn't just a name. It isn't just a profession. It isn't just a word. It's a great reality. How do we prove we love him? We obey him. If a man love me, he will keep my commandments. By this shall all men know that you love me. We love him because we obey his word. We obey his word because we love him. Are we obedient? Mr. Sam McEwen, the man I was saved through, said all that God expects of you. He told me this when about 3 weeks after I was saved. He said all that God expects of you could be written on your thumbnail. And I looked at him with wonder. Could be written on my thumbnail? He said, yes, obedience. So the claims of his love call for obedience from his own. The claims of his love call us to love one another. Do we? I think we do. Can I make a confession? I have known the love of the hearts of God's people for many years. And in these last few years, when it has meant the most, I have felt it the most. Oh, we love one another. Isn't that wonderful? There are dear Christians here, and they have gone through sorrow and loss and grief. We sorrow with them. We share tears with them. And when they rejoice, we rejoice with them. That's what the scriptures say. We have a bond, deeper, greater. Men try to invent organizations. They try to invent societies, brotherhoods, as they call them. But oh, they're nothing like this. This is real. This is genuine. We truly love each other because Christ loved us. Here's a measure, dear fellow believer, which staggers my mind. The Lord Jesus said, this is my commandment. You hearing? This is my commandment that you love one another even as I have loved you. Oh my, what a standard. What a measure. That you love one another even as I have loved you. The claims of his love give us that love for one another. I believe Christian homes are an expression of the love of God. The love of God is not a mere sentiment. It's not a mere emotion. It's light and right and joy and peace and thanksgiving. I thank God for the love of my home, the love of my wife. Thank God for it. What a privilege we have. Look around us in the chaos of our world and we say, thank God for God's love, even manifest in our homes. But I have one more point, and then I'm done. The claim of this love means that we love souls. Means that we love the lost. Means that, like that shepherd who went after that which was lost until he find it. So we should follow his example and go after that which is lost until they are found.
Yes, that's right. The Christmas story is about a lot more than a baby in a manger. It's really about a Savior who was sent to save sinners. The Bible says that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world, and that God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's right, even while we were yet sinners. And while might it be the exclamation of many hearts, what a marvelous love. We hope that if you're not saved, that you'll accept God's priceless gift, his only Son, as your Savior today. Today, if this or any of our Bible messages here at Anchor Point has made you aware of God's interest in you, or if you'd like some literature or a visit that would help you to understand these important truths, why don't you drop us a line at info@anchorpointradio.org. We'd love to hear from you. If this or any of our Bible messages here at Anchor Point has made you aware of God's interest in you, or if you'd like some literature or a visit that would help you to understand these important truths, why don't you drop us a line at email@anchorpointradio.com. We'd love to hear from you. We're glad that you were able to join us at Anchor Point today. Anchor Point is sponsored by Christians who are meeting in various gospel halls. Each of these Christian assemblies holds gospel services as well as regular prayer and Bible studies throughout the week. No collection is ever taken, and a very warm welcome awaits you. And if you've been challenged by today's message, would like to know more about the truth of the gospel, or of gathering under the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, following New Testament principles, please feel free to check out our website at anchorpointradio.com. There you will find more information, as well as the location, programs, and meeting schedules for the Gospel Hall nearest you. My name is John Sharp, and thank you once again for listening. And we invite you to join us again next week at the same time for Anchor Point, where we believe that in times like these, you need a Savior. And in times like these, you need an anchor.